Hello, good morning. So don't dare attempt to discredit the civil rights movement with Sinn Féin's vile rewriting of history. The SDLP have hit out at a Sinn Féin march at the weekend, marking 50 years since the Northern Ireland civil rights movement. This is Mitchell McLaughlin speaking at the event his party organised.
So there are still big challenges ahead. There is still much work to be done. But as in 1968, we will continue to stand up in defence of civil rights for all citizens. And when I look around this crowd today, and when I listen and watch the many spokespersons that Sinn Féin make available to the media, just 5 decades ago I was convinced that we will certainly overcome. I'm completely convinced today we shall overcome. Go to Mila, Mila, Mila.
So are Sinn Féin rewriting history to fit the present, or are they simply commemorating a watershed event for everyone in Northern Ireland? I want your thoughts this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. The SDLP's Mark Durkin is with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Willie.
We'll speak in a moment as well to commentator Nelson McCausland and Chris Donnelly. What is the issue? What are you accusing Sinn Féin of?
Well, the criticism is that, again, we have an attempt by Sinn Féin to claim some sort of ownership around the civil rights movement. The fact is there is a broad-based non-party, cross-party committee with roots going back to the civil rights movement, who are organising a series of events. There have already been a number of talks and discussions in summer schools, and more events are planned. So it's not as though these events are not going to be commemorated anyway. It's not as though other people and other parties
just being good politicians and trying to maybe mark the event in the way that they felt right, and maybe the SDLP should have done the same?
Well, no, because if you have all sorts of parties simply organising their own events, particularly if it's reenactments supposedly of marches, then you only give rise to a situation then where people are able to repeat the usual line that was used by unionists, and indeed has been used even in recent times by people like Nelson McCausland, to say that the civil rights movement was essentially a Sinn Féin front anyway, that Sinn Féin were really behind it, and that the unionist government at the time were right to oppose and repress the civil rights movement because it was really a subversive Republican agenda rather than a rights campaign inspired by the non-violent civil rights campaign of the American civil rights movement. And that's, people need to remember the authentic non-violent character of the civil rights movement. It was there. It was a genuine non-violent challenge to the state to confront issues around the denial of a number of rights. And Sinn Féin, of course, are trying to, one, claim ownership, and made the absurd claim by Declan Kearney last year that it was all Sinn Féin inspired.
Yes, just to read this line out here. This was from Declan writing for EamonMalley.com. He says Sinn Féin's the civil rights movement was influenced by a decision of the IRA and Sinn Féin leadership. So, there will be many that say Republicans did play a big role in this, and therefore, why are you trying to take away from that?
Well, first of all, it's very clear, as I've said already, there is a broad non-party and cross-party committee that has been doing a number of events and exercises that have been reflecting, including asking academics and others to reflect on the facts and events of that time. So the fact is, it's quite clear that many political strands were involved in the civil rights movement. Yes, the people who founded the SDLP can all claim their roots in the civil rights movement, but many other people were in the civil rights movement as well. People who went on to express their politics in other ways and in other strands. Nobody is in denial about that. But what nobody should be trying to do is facilitate the usual unionist establishment slander that was used against the civil rights movement, that it was in effect a front, that it was being used and manipulated by Republicans, and that's why it was therefore resisted by the Unionist Party and the government of that.
Have you spoken directly to anyone, Mark, within the actual movement to see their thoughts on this?
Yes, as I say, there have already been quite a number of events. I mean, because obviously we've the 50th
anniversary. But I'm trying to differentiate here between, is this the issue with them having a march in the first place, or as the claim from one of your colleagues is that they're trying to rewrite history?
Well, they are trying to rewrite history, and we've seen it. We've seen that originally with Declan Kearney's piece, which, you know, Bernadette Devlin, who unquestionably was involved in the civil rights movement and certainly is not someone who the STLP can claim to herself, but she rightly at the time labelled Declan Kearney's piece delusional. So the fact is, we have more of this attempt by Sinn Féin to try to say that because they reenact particular events, that means that they have direct ownership. And of course, they completely airbrush the fact that unlike the non-violent civil rights movement, they actually supported violence. Okay. And they supported violence that directly denied a number of rights. They also supported the campaign that tried to make sure that people didn't actually vote or exercise their right to vote. I mean, I can remember IRA presences outside polling stations trying to make sure that people didn't exercise the right to vote. And of course, the civil rights movement at its heart had the demand for a vote, for equal votes for everyone, and people being able to exercise their right to vote. So let's be very clear, the journey that Sinn Féin were on in the period between the non-violent civil rights movement and now, it was supporting violence, it was supporting the denial of rights as a result and as a consequence of violence. And while it's very good
just
that we
ask
have the situation
question,
we
Mark,
have now,
Mark,
Sinn Féin cannot claim authorship
of
it.
Can I ask you, do you believe that they are rewriting history then, now, or a combination of both? Are they still doing it, in your opinion?
Well, all of the above.
We did ask, we should say, for a representative from Sinn Féin to come on the programme, but there was, well, we haven't heard back from them, so who knows? We're on air until 10:30, so that might just happen. Mark, stay there for me. Chris Donnelly, commentator. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinny.
Your thoughts on what Mark has said?
I think Mark is being overly sensitive. I mean, really, his charge is quite confusing. Firstly, no one organisation has a monopoly on commemoration, whether it's events like the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising, which a lot of different political parties and organizations would have commemorated, or on this occasion, the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. That's a historic landmark occasion, which different political parties and organizations will want to be involved in through commemorations, through discussions, lectures, and the like. So I don't think it's fair to say that because Sinn Féin organized a parade, they are trying to take ownership of this issue.
Well, some people might look at the fact that they slapped Sinn Féin branding over a lot of civil rights marches. You know, they might say, well, why the necessity to do that? If this is simply about what happened then and their perceived opinion on what's happening now, why do that? Why put all that branding everywhere?
Well, firstly, it would be because it was a Sinn Féin organised march. Secondly, I think that, and we heard a bit from what Mitchell McLaughlin was talking about in the clip that you played at the start of the programme, Vinny. What's clear in terms of what Sinn Féin are sending, the message that Sinn Féin are sending out in the speeches that they're giving at occasions like this, is that they're recognizing that rights was a major issue 50 years ago. But of course, rights or the denial of rights are what's deadlocking our political institutions at the moment. And they're drawing a continuum through that. And I think that's very relevant, that many people would recognize that, you know, that our politics have been defined by a struggle for rights over a period of a century, really, since the foundation of the state and before. And therefore, it's quite relevant to talk in the present sense about the denial of rights and therefore trying to link
that. I understand what you're saying. For example, they reference a right-wing Tory Brexit, language issues, obviously Irish Language Act, marriage equality, women's health. That's one of a few of the things that were mentioned in Mitchell's speech at the weekend. What about what Mark has said there regarding the violence of the past?
Well, I think that
have they purposely ignored that and not you know, put that, if they're putting their place in history, not put that up there with it?
Well, I don't think that Republicans would deny that, you know, from the Republican analysis, Republican narrative would be very clear that there was a, you know, the foundation of the state was wrong in the first state. It was founded on violence, the denial of the democratic will of the Irish people. And that when efforts were made to reform the state, that the Orange State closed that down in the late 1960s, early 70s, and the troubles erupted. So I think that Sinn Féin would be clear that, yes, there was a civil rights movement. And I think that Mark is right to point out that the civil rights movement was defined by its anti-violence stance. And I think that, more importantly than some of the other fears that he talks about, is the usual rebuttal to people from, you know, the right-wing unionist tradition who would say the civil rights movement was concocted by Republicans. It clearly wasn't. There was people involved in the civil rights movement who would have been in favour of the state remaining within the United Kingdom, people who would have been liberals, people who would have been communists, and very many people from his own social democratic background. That would be the usual rebuttal to those, to point out that the civil rights movement, unlike the modern republicanism, was anti-violent throughout its existence.
Okay, stay there for a moment, Chris. I'll bring our first caller of the day on. Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Sean.
The present-day Sinn Féin had absolutely nothing to do with the civil rights movement. They were opposed to civil rights at the time, and that was one of the reasons why they were set up. The Republican movement at the time changed from being a physical force movement to a socialist movement. They were in Belfast, what I can speak about, they were the backbone of the civil rights movement.
Chris? Hold on, I want to just get Chris's response to that so far. Chris, go ahead.
What Sean, I think, is pointing out is that the Republican movement, as we would have known it in the 1960s, would have been the organization of Republican clubs, many of which would have went on to become the official IRA, which would have been more left-wing, whereas modern-day Sinn Féin, or Provisional Sinn Féin, whatever, would have been formed really at a later stage. So those individuals that he was talking about, that Sean, I'm assuming, is talking about, would have been people who would have been more left-wing inclined during the 1960s. But it is undoubtedly the case, and this has been written out extensively, people who would later have become involved within Provisional Sinn Féin and the IRA were also involved at some point, at some level, within the civil rights movement.
Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. The leadership of the Provisionals hadn't got a political thought in their head. All they wanted was war. All they wanted was to fight the British. And anybody who had a political thought or wanted to fight the British politically, they were shunned and were beat up. I'm talking from experience. The Provisionals never had a political thought in their head. That's why they gave up their war in 1998, because they were going nowhere. The failures of the past became the failures of the present.
Sean, if they didn't have a political thought in their head, I mean, I think that really, I mean, I'd had
1988.
Hold on, let him come back, Sean. I'll bring you back in a second. Chris, go ahead.
Say that people involved in Sinn Féin did not have a political thought in their head. I mean, I think many who would be strong political opponents with Sinn Féin would recognise the political analysis and strategic thought that was involved in navigating modern Sinn Féin and the IRA throughout the conflict to the ceasefires and to the point now where Sinn Féin, you know, is the third largest party in the island of, well, in the south of Ireland, the third largest party and the second largest party in the north. So I think that doesn't really hold up to say that modern day Sinn Féin Republicans didn't have a political thought in their head.
Okay, let's bring in Nelson McCausland at this point. So I'm going back again to this article from earlier in the year on eamonmalley.com, Nelson, from Declan Kearney regarding the issue that many unionists had regarding the civil rights movement and the suspicion within believing the group's main aim was actually to create a united Ireland. Is any of that coming into play with the issues we're hearing today?
Well, certainly Sinn Féin are in the business of rewriting history. There's no doubt about that. And in a sense, I suppose they're trying to hijack the civil rights movement for their own ends, because with their analysis, it is about demonising Northern Ireland government, the Northern Ireland state, demonising unionism, in order to legitimise 30 years of IRA terrorism, because they use all of the events in the 60s to justify the murder, the mayhem, the slaughter that was perpetrated on Northern Ireland by the Provisionals.
So when they say that this was about equal rights, for example, at the time, housing, jobs, you know, that's what they will say that they were trying to fight for, part of.
I think that we need to say also they're not the only people who are trying to rewrite history. And I think it's quite clear that many sections of nationalism, republicanism and socialism are trying to rewrite that era. The reality is reasonably, I wouldn't agree with all of it, but much of what Patrick Murphy was saying in the Irish News on Saturday. And remember, Patrick Murphy wrote the original history of the official history of the Civil Rights Association. And he refers in that to, for example, the Connolly Association, which was a front for the Communist Party in Great Britain. People like Desmond Greaves in England, who were Marxists, who saw the civil rights movement as a way of bringing down the state in Northern Ireland, undermining Northern Ireland. They saw this as a way of doing that in a way that they believed could succeed. Now, there's that element, and all of the other elements. This attempt by the SDLP to distance some of their folk from some of these things. If you go back, the civil rights movement appeared on the streets in 1968. It appeared on the streets in Easter 1968 in Armagh, supporting the Republican clubs when they were faced with a ban on a particular event. And then they went onto the streets with marches in the autumn.
Let me bring in Nelson Duffy.
Sorry, could I just make one? It's an important point here. The reality is the Civil Rights Association was born in Machara in 1966 in the home of Kevin Agnew, when members of the Wolf Tone Societies, the Communist Party, the Campaign for Social Justice and others, and members of the IRA were sitting together in Kevin Agnew's house, because Kevin Agnew was a veteran Republican, a senior Republican within the Republican clubs or Sinn Féin, and it was there in the summer of 66 that the whole strategy for the Civil Rights Association was set out, and they were building.
Okay, let me bring in Mark Durkin again at this point, Nelson, if you don't mind, please. So you hear what he says there, Mark, that this was not just a Sinn Féin thing. The SDLP have their role to play in terms of rewriting history as well.
Well, sorry, the SDLP are not trying to rewrite history, and the SDLP have fully engaged in and cooperated in all of the various events and discussions, as I say, that have been done on a cross-party and a non-party basis with full academic and historic reflections there in ways that aren't solely SDLP or belong to any one particular party. So we've been very clear about needing to remember and respect the truth of the Civil Rights Campaign, and importantly, remember the truth of the validity of it and the quality of its non-violent challenge, because the Civil Rights Movement wasn't just anti-violent, it was non-violent. It actually believed that there was a power in non-violence, and at times we saw that demonstrated. So that's what the SDLP has been trying to do. We have been part of trying to honour and reflect on these events, just as other historic events have been done. Yes, parties can organise their own events in their own ways, different discussions for their members and for other people. But it's when a party then claims to reenact the particular event, such as the march from Coal Island to Dungannon, or as Sinn Féin are going to be trying to do on the 5th of October, doing their own reenactment of the 5th of October march. That's where you have the stealing of history as well as the rewriting of history going on, and that is something that parties shouldn't do. People should respect the integrity of that broad coalition that was the civil rights movement. That brief shining moment that there was of an attempt to use non-violence to challenge the violations that were being dished out against rights by the state, and that included in relation to voting, it included in relation to housing, and of course it included in relation to employment as well. Issues, of course, that many people like Nelson keep trying to deny and play down. They try to play down the circumstances that gave rise to the civil rights movement. They try to play down what it was that the state was trying to defend when it set out to repress.
Well, Nelson, do you believe that the civil rights movement was indeed a good thing for Northern Ireland?
The civil rights movement, because of the way it was constructed, was not going to produce a better Northern Ireland. It was bound to fail in any attempt in that regard, because it was born in the background, on the back of the IRA campaign of 56 to 62.
So just staying on that civil rights movement, so is that a no then?
Context is hugely important for all of this. And the question I would put to Mark Durkin is, would he concede that there were meetings in Machara in 1966 in Kevin Agnew's home, where at the IRA, the Campaign for Social Justice, I'm talking about the IRA, the official IRA it would have been then, and in a sense the Workers' Party have more claim on a lot of this than Sinn Féin.
So Nelson, just to go back to that question, do you believe the civil rights movement was in general a good thing for Northern Ireland? Is that a yes or a no?
I listened recently to two members of the civil rights movement at that time who actually said if they knew now, if they had known then what they know now, they wouldn't have done it.
What was the alternative for many Catholic families that felt like they, you know, they were being discriminated against with relation to, let's say, for example, housing and jobs? Were they meant to wait for those rights to be given to them, or were they right to then try and do something about it in terms of this movement?
Well, I think that they were failed by the Nationalist Party at that time, the Constitutional Nationalists, because it was such an inept party. They were failed by republicanism, which had kept on and on.
Was there a unionist majority at the time, Nelson?
Right, hold on. If you just allow me to make my point here, because these are complex issues. And they are complex issues which cannot be broken down into very simple yes-nos. This was a situation which was the perfect storm where a lot of different factors came together. I would suggest that if you look back to that era, unionists quite often did things which may not have been the wisest thing to do, but it was understandable at the time.
Okay, well, do you believe then that Catholics...
With IRA terrorism...
Okay.
Let me ask
you a question, Nelson. Do you believe that at the time Catholics were discriminated against in any form with relation to the likes of housing, jobs, you know, what was available to them, the elections, etc.? Was there any discrimination in your eyes?
Well, first of all, in terms of voting... there were Catholic voters who had more than one vote because they had a business vote as well as their own personal vote. And there were Protestant voters who had only one vote or no vote in local elections.
So do you believe maybe unionists were discriminated against at the time?
The question there of discrimination, yes, there was discrimination against unionists in some nationalist-controlled areas. This is much more complex.
I understand that, and I understand that, but there will be people listening to the radio this morning, Nelson, and saying it's not just Sinn Féin that are rewriting history. It's a very simple question. Do you believe, and I know it is much more complex and I'm making it sound, and there are specifics that we're not going into at this point, but generally, were Catholics at the time discriminated against in any way?
The discrimination that is presented by nationalists today, still, and was presented at the time, is not reflective of the true situation. And I give you just one example of that.
Is that a no?
I've given you an answer there. I've said that that they painted at that time. I know, look, Vinny, it is not something that you've conceded it already. You've admitted it. These things are much more complex. So, for example, in housing, it's possible to look at housing in one area where a council was providing housing, but ignore the housing that was provided by the Housing Trust. And actually, if you put together the building of houses by the Housing Trust and the local authorities, it actually works out reasonably fairly. And that's a view not just of me, but it's a view that I've heard expressed by historians and academics over the past year. I've heard it expressed by people who were involved in the civil rights movement, who've actually admitted that the figures that were put out at that time were distorted to create a campaign. These are things that are actually being said at some of the meetings that Mark Durkin is talking about, because I've been at quite a number of them and taken part in them. And I've heard people there who were very much involved in the campaign at the time, people who were actually on the march in Londonderry in October 1968, actually saying that there was misrepresentation. They've acknowledged that there was misrepresentation of all of the facts. People were given a partial picture. Tragically, that has become embedded in the narrative of Northern Ireland and it's been exploited by Sinn Féin in order to legitimise the IRA.
So do you believe the perception that there was discrimination against Catholics or nationalists at the time, you believe that that's a distorted view of history?
I didn't say that. Okay. I did not say that. I'm not saying there was no discrimination. Just as there was discrimination in the Irish Republic, there was discrimination in various ways and in various forms in Northern Ireland, both directions. There were places where nationalist-controlled councils did not treat unionists particularly well. There were cases where unionist councils fearful, in the context, understandably fearful, in the context of ongoing IRA terrorism.
Okay. Nelson, if you can stay with us.
After a 62 campaign,
yeah.
The truth is the fact that there was misrepresentation, and it was now being used by Sinn Féin to legitimise the IRA, and it's used by others.
Okay, if you want to talk to Nelson McCausland on the programme this morning, 030 30 80 55 55. Chris Donnelly, I know you have to go, so last word on you before we go to the news and then come back to this. Go ahead.
I think two things. Firstly, Nelson's analysis, you know, sums up the tragedy of the political unionism. That moment in history, that late, you know, Northern Nationalism rejected the border campaign from 56 to 62, the IRA campaign. It was a monumental failure. They didn't get support. You had a rise of a Catholic middle class, the first, you know, post-Grammar 11-plus generation. That's what fed, that's what sustained the civil rights movement at that moment. They wanted an equal place in Northern Ireland. They didn't get it. They had that resistance from political unionism. And to hear that from Nelson McCausland 50 years later, tells us that they still don't get it. And that is the singular greatest failure of unionism at a political leadership level. Not looking back, and even today, not recognizing that the failure to try to assimilate, to make Northern Ireland, which is currently in the United Kingdom, an equal place where people can become settled within, is what sustains the move of many others to try to push towards United Ireland.
Nelson McCausland, I've been told that you, in fact, need to go very shortly, which is unfortunate because there are a lot of people that want to talk to you on the programme this morning. You know you will have upset many nationalists, many Republicans, whenever you know, with the description you gave before the news there. And I want to come back just briefly to what Chris Donnelly said a moment ago, you know, nationalists and their feeling of not having an equal place in Northern Ireland. So just one last time, do you believe that they did?
Within Northern Ireland at that time, and this is long, the reality is I was at school at the time of the civil rights campaign. But I was finishing my school years, and I can remember the events of that time. I can just remember the 56 to 62 IRA campaign, which resulted in the deaths of a number of people. So Northern Ireland has always had that difficulty of the threat from the IRA, and unionists responded to that, perhaps unwisely at times. They didn't always get it right. There were things that were wrong that needed change.
Sorry, I just want to make sure, just to be really clear, are you saying that the unionists, they responded to threats from the IRA by maybe shifting that equality in relation to nationalists and unionists in Northern Ireland?
There were places reserved in the Ulster Special Constabulary and in the RUC for members of the Catholic community, and they were deterred from joining because they were targeted by Republicans. This has gone back to the early days of Northern Ireland. We had a nationalist party which was incompetent and inept and didn't really even function as a party. It was really organised on a sectarian basis.
But what about the people, the everyday people that weren't politicians? They were...
And I'm saying that ordinary people were failed in many ways. Just as there was discrimination south of the border, very often people look at Northern Ireland in isolation. But very often what was happening in Northern Ireland was the mirror image of what was happening in the Republic.
Okay, but we're on air in Northern Ireland, so let's talk about Northern Ireland just
for now. Yes, we are indeed. We are indeed, Vinnie. But that's an attempt to evade a reality.
By who?
The reality is that what happens south of the border has an impact up here, and you know that very well. It happened then, it happens today. So very clearly, there was discrimination in the Irish Republic. The Mayo Library case, you couldn't have a Protestant employed as a librarian in County Mayo. There were other cases, the Fetterdon-Sea boycott, where the Protestant community in Fetterdon-Sea was the victim of a boycott by the Catholic community, and almost people were put out of business over it. All sorts of things were going on. There were issues on both sides of the border. Now, don't let us please avoid that reality. Let's remember also about Saturday, about the Sinn Féin parade. Sinn Féin parade was notable for two things for me. First was that Mitchell McLaughlin, now given his title Professor Mitchell McLaughlin, was talking about a United Ireland. I was always told that the civil rights movement had nothing to do with campaigns for United and didn't want to bring down the...
But do you know, Nelson, you know what Sinn Féin are about. One of their main goals is the United Ireland. Please do not try and skew it to suggesting it's what I want to hear. I'm simply asking you questions. We did ask for someone from Sinn Féin to come on.
You tried to avoid the situation about anti-Protestant discrimination.
No, Nelson, you've been on this programme for half an hour, and I have not tried to dissuade you from saying anything at all, and it's not fair for you to suggest that.
You told me a moment ago, Vinnie, don't deny it, please. Don't deny it, please. You told me there what happened south of the border was irrelevant.
No. See, Nelson, you're doing it again. I did not say that. Now, let's bring in Colm Gildernew.
You were trying to state...
No, you're putting words in my mouth, Nelson, and I will not let you do it. Now, Colm Gildernew has contacted us. She is a Sinn Féin MLA from South Tyrone. Good morning to you, Colm.
Morning.
Go ahead, Colm.
Yeah. So I just wanted to address some of the comments there by Mark Durkin, which I briefly heard.
Well, Mark and Nelson are still there on the line, okay, but Nelson does have to go, be fair to him.
Okay, I just want to explain something in relation to Saturday's reenactment of the Civil Rights March. The original Killeland to Dungannon March was called to support the families who had squatted in Killeland. Now, those families had been supported by the Brantley Republican Club. My grandmother, Annie Mary Gildernew, was a leading member of that. My aunt, Mary Theresa Goodfellow, was one of the family members who was evicted on the morning. And I think that's being misunderstood, that there was a reenactment of, this was a Sinn Féin event to mark Republican involvement in the Killeen to Dungannon march, which was called to support the families that were evicted at Culloden. And in relation to Culloden, my grandmother had been working extensively for a number of years prior to the squatting in Culloden to try to get houses for nationalist families in the area. The local council, which was predominantly unionist in an area which was majority nationalist voting, had they had a vote, and they had agreed, they refused to build any houses in the Brantley area, but what they did do was say that they would build 15 houses in Culloden.
Let's come back to what happened at the weekend and the frustration that many people see, you know, Sinn Féin, they describe it as rewriting history, Colm. It's a very serious accusation to make. And I go back to an article, this is relating to Declan Kearney and what he said, and then there's a quote from someone involved in the campaign, this is Bernadette McCallisky, who later became an MP, said that their claims had no basis in fact. And she said that it described Declan Kearney's comments as incoherent and silly ramblings. You know, not both sides can be completely accurate here. There's a problem somewhere.
Well, clearly there is a problem. All that I want to set out is the fact that my mother, who is still a leading member of Sinn Féin within our area, was evicted. She was expecting me at the time. I'm the Sinn Féin MLA for Fermanagh and South Throne. Michelle is the MP. Like, so there's a clear continuation in terms of Sinn Féin. At the time, Sinn Féin was banned and was a proscribed organisation, and Sinn Féin were operating under the Republican clubs, and they were agitating peacefully to try to gain some equality. I mean, in Dungannon Urban Council, in Dungannon Council area, there was a 53% nationalist majority, yet there was 14 unionist councillors, 7 unionist councillors. So there was a gerrymandered situation. William Scott, the local unions councillor, basically just read out a list of who he wanted to have the houses. One of the houses was allocated to a 19.
Right. Well, look, I want to try and stay on, and I understand why you're putting this across, Colm, to put it all into context. But we started talking.
Well, the context is everything here, because I mean that march was called to protest the fact that a 19-year-old single girl was given a house in Culloden in front of a family of 2 parents and 3 children. And the inequality that was reflected in that led to the Killeen and Dungannon march, and led to people saying we will not tolerate this.
Answer
anymore.
Me this, Colm. Tell me, why was there a flute band at the weekend, a colour party and South Derry Martyrs flute band? Why was that there at a civil rights march?
There was no colour party in the march. There was a band, and I mean it's quite normal to have a band. I don't see any issue with that at all. And I've also said to your researcher, Vinny, as you know, that I actually came off the motorway here to make this call, because it cannot go unchallenged. But what Mark Durgan is actually doing, he says about rewriting history, he's trying to totally write Sinn Féin out of history.
Well, Mark's there. Mark, you want to respond to that?
The Gildernew family were centrally involved. The march was called in support of the Gildernew family and what happened in Culloden, and as a result of wider concerns, which indeed a range of people were involved in. And I attended an event on Thursday.
Right, I'm sorry, it can't just be a monologue, please. We'll have to try and have a conversation here. So, Colm, thank you. If you can stay there for a moment, and I'll let Mark Durkin respond to what you've said about him and, indeed, the SDLP. Mark, go ahead.
Well, first of all, we haven't tried to write anybody out of any part of the civil rights history. And I will repeat again, we have worked with and been part of what has been a cross-party and a non-party effort that is reflected on all of the various strands that contributed to the civil rights movement, that coalesced around that movement at the time, and reflected on things that have happened since. So we haven't written anybody out of anything, and that's why we have taken part in various events that have had various people representing different political interests and strands and voices, either then or since, all reflecting on the broad base of the civil rights movement. So in terms of what Colm is saying as well, I think it's a very useful rejoinder. While he was making all his points against me, I think it's actually a useful rejoinder to a lot of the nonsense that Nelson was coming out with. Because Nelson, of course, is trying to paint this little house in the prairie picture of Northern Ireland as though everything was great and grand.
Nelson's not here to respond to that.
Wrong,
he's
had wrong.
To go.
They were equally wrong on both sides of the community, or they were equally wrong on both sides of the
border. The other way to look at this, Mark, is that there'll be people listening this morning, and you know, they're maybe on a waiting list for something to do with their health, something really serious, or a loved one, or maybe they're having problems financially, or there's a whole ream of things. And then they hear this, we still cannot agree on the past, the present, or indeed the future. And there must be so much frustration out there. So what do you say to those people to try and make them feel like there is some kind of positive future in Northern Ireland for them and their families?
Well, of course, we share that frustration. And after all, yes, people are on health waiting lists that aren't being properly addressed. People are also, to this day, on housing waiting lists that aren't being properly addressed. And there are acute housing problems in particular parts of Northern Ireland that need to be addressed. And that's the kind of stuff that should be on the agenda of an executive and an assembly. And bizarrely, we're in a situation now where we have, for the first time in Northern Ireland's history, an assembly is elected that doesn't have that isn't starting with a unionist majority. And bizarrely, that assembly isn't actually able to meet and confront exactly the sort of issues that you are talking about, as well as others. Because if we're celebrating the importance of one person, one vote, if we're celebrating the importance of democratic rights, then the democratic rights of everybody who voted for all the different parties that are meant to make up the assembly and in turn can contribute to an executive, those democratic rights need to be recognised and need to be addressed as well.
Okay.
Because that's the channel for dealing with those social and economic challenges.
I want to bring in some
calls.
Listen, Mark, thank you very much. That's Mark Durkin from the SDLP. Thanks to Colm Gildrin, who contacted the programme, Nelson McCausland, and to Chris Donnelly. Charlie, good morning to you. Go ahead, Charlie.
Good morning. I've been on the phone now for the last 20 minutes.
Sorry about that. Sorry about the wait.
I'm not worried about that, but I'm just the issues is getting so confused about. I listened to Nelson McCausland. I came on to talk about the actual issue of. To me, personally, Derry, 1968, I wasn't on the first march because I was a young person, didn't really realise what was going on until people were battened on Duke Street, and that brought all the forefront where we had seen marches, our marches going on, and let go. I think the unions had the whole thing on their control. They give fairness, and they haven't done that. Things are going to be different. But what I really came on to say was, the civil rights march and Derry and elsewhere, where every nationalist was together, every anti-unionist was together, everybody wanted the right for all the things they weren't given to them. We're all together. And the civil rights movement, I had an IRA thought in my head. At the time, they were telling us, oh, the IRA, William Craig was saying the IRA, and I had an IRA thought in my head. And I see the marches, you can see the footage nowadays, all the people together. But you know what? The IRA came in there to kill people. And that was a complete antithesis to civil rights to me. That wrecked everything for me.
Okay.
Because I don't believe in anybody losing their life. And the whole, yeah, some people said earlier there, and they wouldn't have done it if they had a new way it was going to turn around. But sometimes you would think that.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. Mary in Donegal, good morning to you, Mary.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm from the Brandywell Bogside, and just listening also to the programme. And to be honest with you, Sinn Féin are slow learners. It took them 35 years to catch up with SDLP, to stop the mayhem and the intimidation of us when we were children. I remember on a swing in the Brandywell, around the lamppost, I don't know how I did it, but I came off that swing and I followed Paddy Devlin and I followed Jerry Fitt in the hall behind the back of the Brandywell, the wee hall, where all these old men were smoking hats on their heads and spitting on the ground. And I was fascinated by the conversations and then the marches, and I started following Jerry, Eamon McCann and Bernard Devlin. These people were amazing, and I went to a lot of the marches. I was only going on 12, 13, 14, something.
Do you think we've come a long way, Mary? Do you think? Because we quite often focus on the negatives, and I know Sinn Féin say there are still issues in relation to rights, but have we come a long way?
No, we have serious deprivation. We have serious problems with the health service. We have poverty. People are worse off today. They might have nice homes and lots of debt right enough, but you know what? People are cowed down. They're beaten to submission with a lot of deaths. I mean, the IRA never even come into my head in 1971, 72, 73. Then we owned a little shop of hairdressers. And you know what? The pain and suffering. Then you had a Sinn Féin centres opened up in 1978. Money given by the British government to help people. I'm telling you, that was the opposite. We were warned not to go to authorities. This is a life we have lived. We have to now try and build a decent life for our grandchildren, okay. our children.